This is the Perfect Pup Podcast, helping you build a better relationship with your pup, presented by Pupford.
Hello, pup parents, and welcome to today's episode of the Perfect Pup Podcast. My name is Devin. I am excited for this episode. Like most things in life, we are often looking for ways to improve how fast we learn, how fast we accomplish things. And it's similar with our dog's training and learning. So in this episode, we're going to go over 5 things that you can do to make your dog learn more quickly. And I will say, training takes time. It's a lifelong endeavor for your dog, but there are things you can do to speed up the process and help your dog learn more efficiently. And I'm also going to give you a little insight, some tips onto how to train in your daily life, because really that's going to make the biggest difference for us with busy schedules. So let's get right into it. I'm going to say this again. Training takes time. Raising a well-mannered pup, training them to be responsive and listen to you, it takes time. It takes patience. It takes energy. It takes focus. It takes all those things. And so I don't want you to have unrealistic expectations that you're going to be able to train your dog overnight or fix a behavior in a week. Like, it's not really how it works. But if you, as the teacher, think about ways that you can more efficiently and effectively teach your dog, they're going to learn quickly and you're going to overcome those challenging behaviors more quickly and be able to give your dog more freedom and more ability to do fun things like being off leash, going on hikes, you know, being around other dogs, all that fun stuff. So the first tip, we've talked about this before, but you need to maximize your dog's mealtime. Training a dog is so much about focus. If you don't have your dog's attention, you are not going to be able to teach them. And so finding opportunities every single day where you do have your dog's focus and attention, and then using those moments to incorporate training is going to really speed up your dog's learning. Because again, you've got their focus, use it. So here are some things you can do to take advantage of your dog's mealtime. It's simple. It doesn't have to be these complex training sessions, and you don't have to use your dog's entire meal for training, but here's some things you can do. For example, you can teach your dog and work on the place behavior while you're preparing your dog's meal, guiding them to their place, giving them a piece of their food while they wait, reinforcing as you continue to prep the rest of their meal, whatever it might be. You could also use puzzles or snuffle feeders. The way that's going to help is that as you work your dog's brain, it's just going to get that brain flowing and get them more mentally exercised and enriched. And so when you do other training or when you're working on other behaviors, you'll be more likely to have a more in tune dog. You can also work on desensitizing your dog to sounds, whether it be vacuums or the dishwasher, whatever it is that your dog might be afraid of. You can use mealtime to do some desensitization. You can also work on recall in the home. You know, even if you just take a handful, if you feed your dog a kibble, take a handful of the kibble, and instead of just, you know, giving them their meal, do some quick recalls inside your house with their kibble, and then give them the rest of their meal. Again, it doesn't have to be an entire session. It doesn't have to be this big drawn out thing, but it's using mealtime to take advantage of your dog's focus. And that kind of leads to point number 2, which is to do mini training sessions every single day. We are all busy. We have different schedules. There's work, there's school, there's family, there's friends, there's activities. There's so much to do. And finding time to train our dogs, it can feel difficult. And what I've seen for myself and a lot of pup parents who I've talked to and in online communities is, you know, Monday through Friday while they're working, it's hard to carve out time to train. And then they think, oh, Saturday, Sunday, I'll do these big, long training sessions. That's not the best way. Doing these long, drawn out training sessions, for a lot of dogs, it gets overwhelming and you lose their focus. So really what is more advantageous than, you know, a long dedicated training session on the weekend would be even 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes on a daily basis. And we're going to talk about ways to incorporate, you know, your routine into training. So shoot for 3 to 5 minutes, even if that's all it is. If you can do 3 to 5 minutes every day, you know, think about it as a numbers game. I'm very analytical in my brain, and there's a lot that I do with diving into data and numbers. And I personally kind of look at the dog training experience as a little bit of a numbers game where you're just trying to get as many opportunities to reinforce the good behaviors as you can. And so if you can find 2 to 3 minutes on a daily basis to do that, your dog's going to learn more quickly versus having these long breaks or gaps in multiple days without training or weeks or whatever it might be. So one way to do that is with the third tip, which is routine-based behaviors. So what I mean is every single day you have your routine with your dog, and it looks different for everyone, but there's food involved, there's a walk involved, there's usually play involved, there's all the different things that we do with our dogs. There's a fantastic principle in a book called Atomic Habits, where he talks about habit stacking. I recommend you check out that book generally just for life advice and how to, you know, get better at creating and keeping habits. But he talks about habit stacking, which is basically, you know, if you are really wanting to add in a new behavior where you're going to do 1 minute of meditation or mindfulness, he talks about stacking that habit with another habit you already do. For example, brushing your teeth. So if you got into the habit of knowing, okay, I'm going to brush my teeth every morning. When I'm done brushing my teeth, I'm going to set a timer and do 60 seconds of mindfulness. It makes it easier to create that new habit because you are pairing it with another habit. You're stacking those habits together. And it's so similar with our dogs. There are things that you do every single day where you could create a habit and say, all right, every time I walk out the front door with my dog, I'm going to have them do a sit and a stay, and then we're going to go out the door. You know, there's the habit. You're already going out the door, so use that little split second to do some training. You could also have your dog do a look at me or a focus behavior before you unclip them from their leash at the park. You know, it's something you're going to do regardless, but if you get into the habit of saying, every time I unclip my dog, I want to get their eyes first, and reward, or even the reward can be letting them off leash and they go get to play. You can also, for example, get into the habit of, if you're brewing your morning coffee or tea or making your breakfast or whatever it is, you know, if you have to throw something in the microwave or wait for water to warm up, take 60 seconds and practice one or two tricks while your coffee's brewing. You can also, if you watch TV, I like to watch sports. You've probably heard that annoying Burger King commercial jingle 1,000 times. So instead of watching that again, mute your TV, stand up, and do a little bit of training during commercials. Like, there are so many opportunities. It all comes down to creating those habits and saying every day or in every instance that I do X, I'm also going to add on Y. And you incorporate training on your daily routine with your dog. On this podcast, I do my best to give you as much advice as possible to help you raise a happy and well-behaved dog. But sometimes you need to hear it from other people and more in-depth resources. And that's why you need to check out the Pupford app. You can download it on iOS or Android, and you can get free access to plenty of courses and different videos, and even check out Pupford Academy for exclusive access to premium content covering courses like impulse control, separation anxiety, and more. The fourth tip, playtime, using it for training. We have talked before about how you can use things like recall to teach fetch. You know, the principle there, again, it's similar to maximizing your dog's mealtime, is that when you're playing with your dog, they're excited, they're having fun. They also are going to give you their attention because they want to play. You know, think about even how it was in, you know, first grade, and you would play math games and it would be like tic-tac-toe with math or whatever. And as a kid, you're excited. You don't even really think about how you're learning, but it's a fun activity that incorporates learning, and you do learn math and you do improve your math skills. And it's the same thing with our dogs. Even if you're saying, I'm not going to do a dedicated, you know, training session, I'm going to play tug with my dog for 10 minutes, you can certainly incorporate practicing behaviors like drop it or leave it or wait or, you know, other impulse control things. We already talked about using fetch for recall, using fetch as a reward for different behaviors. Maybe it's shake. You know, you can get creative. You could also turn your game time and your playing time into more training focused things like playing hide and seek. It becomes a recall practice for your dog. You can also use a flirt pole. You know, the flirt pole is a great training tool, but it's also for play and it's for fun and getting your dog moving around. It's, you know, again, kind of rethinking in our own minds of, oh, I've got to do this dedicated training session and we're going to work on recall and it's going to be, this is what we're going to do, and it's rigid. Just do it during play. Find opportunities every single day. And the fifth point, and potentially the most important point for how you can speed up your dog's learning and train them more quickly, is to use strong reinforcers and to avoid mixed signals. So let's break those two down. Strong reinforcers, again, we've talked about this. I've talked in depth about how my dog Scout, her recall went from like a 3 or a 4 to an 8 or a 9 just by changing her reinforcers. We stopped trying to use treats outside when she was distracted, and we started using fetch. We used play as the reinforcement for her so that, you know, we'd call her to us. When she would come, we'd get a hold of her harness, and then we would say, yes, mark the behavior and throw the ball. And that was her reward. You have to find your dog's currency. What you think is going to be a strong reinforcer for your dog doesn't matter. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what your dog cares about. So it's on us as pup parents to say, I'm going to figure out what my dog really, really cares about. And it might be different in different instances, you know, outdoors versus indoors versus around other dogs and not other dogs. But you can use things like praise and play and, of course, treats and food and mealtime to reinforce your dog, because what we reinforce is more likely to be repeated in the future. And if you have strong reinforcers, you're increasing that likelihood of the reinforcement happening again. If you're in school and your teacher says, okay, every time you turn in your assignment on time, you're going to get an extra point. You're like, okay, that's exciting and all. But if it was, hey, every time you turn your assignment in on time, you're going to get a full letter grade improvement, you would definitely be more likely to turn your paper in on time. And it's the same thing with our dogs. You have to find what they care about and then use it and use it and use it and use it. It takes trial and error. It takes practice. It takes trying different treats, different foods, different play. Be creative. Try new things with your dog and find what they care about. And while you're doing that, be sure to avoid mixed signals. This isn't an episode about dating, although there seems like there's a place here for a pun about high school dating experiences and mixed signals, but your dog needs clarity from you. They need to know what is okay, and they don't do a great job, our dogs, at delineating between, oh, I can jump on my human, my dog mom, my dog dad, but when other people come over, I can't jump. In their mind, they think, jumping up on humans is okay. They get praise, they get pets, it's all right. And so they're going to, if you let them jump on you, they're going to be more likely to jump on guests who come to your home. That's just one example. If you sometimes let them on the couch, but then you don't want them on the couch when guests come over, again, it's hard for them to delineate. Their brain says, I go on the couch and it's okay. And so you have to be clear with your dog. You have to avoid mixed signals, and you have to be consistent with what you are okay with and what you reinforce and what you're not okay with and what you don't allow them to do. These 5 tips are going to help you train your dog faster. Keep in mind, I didn't go over principles today. I didn't go over techniques. I didn't go over shaping or luring or, you know, the 3 Ds, distance, duration, and distraction of recall. I didn't go over those things. If you want in-depth resources, I highly, highly recommend signing up for 30-Day Perfect Pup. It's also available in the Pupford app. It is a completely free course. And within the Pupford app, there is a whole library of free content, arguably that's better than anything you can pay for from other companies. And if you want additional content, like courses specifically diving into recall or separation anxiety or trick training, we have Pupford Academy Plus. There's a wealth of resources, and a lot of them too, you know, especially 21 impulse control games, which is super popular. There are, again, these more ideas for incorporating routine-based training and learning and practicing things that happen on a daily basis versus just, I'm going to have these dedicated training sessions. So I hope you found this episode enjoyable. I have a very strong plea for you. If you're on YouTube, subscribe and leave a comment. And if you are on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. It's so, so helpful for this podcast. And if you're on Spotify, follow our show. And other than that, we will catch you on the next episode.